Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, and I am tickled pink to be with you today. Today, we're going to talk about how important is it really what comes out of your mouth? Okay, maybe that wasn't like perfect grammar, but as it turns out, what comes out of our mouth is probably even more important than what we put into it. So as a nutritionist, I've been a clinical nutritionist for over 17, almost 18 years now. And we spend a lot of time, my clients and I, working together, talking about what's going into your mouth. What are you eating? What are you drinking? How much water are you drinking? What supplements are you taking? What prescriptions are you taking? What is going into your mouth? And you know what? All that really matters. Like it really does. Because what goes into our mouth is actually going to affect how we feel. It's going to affect physically how we feel. Do we feel strong and energetic? It also affects very much our mind, our capacity to learn, our capacity to think clearly. It affects our emotions. And when our emotions are affected, it affects our relationships. All that really matters. Everything that goes into your mouth matters. But today, this episode is dedicated to what is coming out of your mouth, because it matters even more. Do you believe that? One of the things I find in visiting with women all across the United States and in a little bit beyond, this isn't something we think about. Most of us don't really give a whole lot of consideration to what am I saying? And what is my tone of voice? And what is my heart in talking with this person? We just say the words. Maybe we're not even really thinking about communicating or being understood. Maybe we just want to say what we want to say and let the chips fall where they may. I want to challenge you today. I want to take you up a level, because when we really consider the power of the words that we speak, it can change our world. And it does every day, whether we know it or not. So why not be intentional about what we're saying and how we're saying it and see what happens? Last week, I was on a call with a client and she was talking about a relationship with a family member. I think the word she used to describe this family member was spicy. she said, this family member is spicy. And so as we've been working together, this client thought, you know, maybe if I change what I say, how I say it, when I say it, wonder what would happen with spicy family member. And so she tried it. And what do you suppose might have happened? She said within hours, there was a difference in spicy. Isn't that amazing? Just because a woman gained awareness, possibly even some conviction from the Holy Spirit, that maybe she could season her words a little differently for a different outcome in another person's life through their actions and through their behaviors. And I have seen that myself. I have experienced it myself. And that's why I wanted to share it with you today. You know, as we think about it, if we go all the way back in the Bible, if we go all the way back to Genesis 1, the beginning, in the beginning, right? How did God create the world? Oh, let's think about it. He didn't like grab a little bit of clay and dirt and mud over here and pick up a few trees over here and kind of cram it together with his hands and go, oh, there it is. No. We read in Genesis 1 how God created our world. And it's really relevant to what we're talking about today. In in chapter 1, verse 3. So three verses in. And God said, God created our world with his spoken word. So that makes me believe that I and you, we can impact our world with our spoken word. I know it. I know it for 100% sure. It makes me think of, golly, 1987. I know that's before some of you were even born. But in 1987, I was in college and I met the most delightful cowboy at a Waffle House. Okay, not a place I really hung out usually, but we met one afternoon and we started getting to know each other. And one of the first things I could tell about him before I really knew much about his story was that he had a lower self-confidence. He didn't seem to feel really confident. But I saw like this incredible person inside him. Like I could just tell, like there is a greatness in this man. And so I was like, this is so interesting. And as we got to know each other, I learned that he had been in a relationship where someone else had done some things that were hurtful to him. And as a result, his confidence was low. And as we got to know each other, God has just put it in me. Like, this is something that I cannot actually take credit for, okay? God has put it in me to be, in general, a natural encourager. He's given me the capacity to see potential. Now, let me be clear. What I want to say to all you single ladies, we do not marry potential, okay? Do not marry potential. That's not a good idea. I did not marry potential. I married an amazing man. And as we got to know each other, and as I saw things in him that were, gosh, incredible. Like, he just had such a fun wit. He had such a beautiful heart for people, for animals. He was kind. He was respectful. He was considerate, was gentle. And when I saw those things, I just said it. I just noticed that you were really gentle with that, you know, with that. At one season of our early marriage, he was in animal rescue. So like he would go out and rescue animals and I would get to hear stories about it. And I would just speak to you what I just heard. I heard that you were very gentle. I heard that you were very, he was always very strong, but he just was able to be just this exceptional human. And when I saw it, I said it. And when I said it, over time, it built him up. And as he got built up, he became more capable of stepping into even more of what God had for him in time. But there was a season where he needed to be encouraged, to be called up. You know what I'm talking about? I think it is such a blessing when God puts people into our lives, when he brings people into our lives who see something in us that we do not see. We cannot see it. It is either so daily to us that we do not have an awareness of it, or it is something that is buried under other things in our lives and we don't see it. But God says, hey, to someone else. He says, hey, notice this in them. Call that out. Stir that up in them. Draw it out. Draw it out. And it is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing how God uses people together to pull out, draw out, just call out the powerful, beautiful things that God planted in them, maybe even before they were born. And they just need to be excavated, and they get excavated by the power of the words that we choose to speak. It makes me really sad, but there are a lot of people who spend most of their childhood with very little affirmation or encouragement verbally from their parents. Somewhere along the way, the parents got the memo, hey, don't tell your kids that they're good because then they'll act like little brats. You'll have to deal with it. So don't give them compliments. Always tell them where they're falling short. Tell them where they're falling short so they can get better. And I'm just going to tell you, that makes me sad. That makes me so sad because children flourish with encouragement. When we speak life into them, we can change the way that they express themselves, like for the rest of their lives, especially as moms. Girl, if you are a mama, perk your ears up. We have so much influence over our children. I spoke a few minutes ago about my influence over my late husband, Tim. I was able to encourage him to call out things in him that I could see that he couldn't see. He went from being he was always introverted. That never changed. But he went from having a very low self-confidence to being able to step into fully what God had purposed him for. And now I'm not completely responsible for that, but I am responsible for the parts that I was responsible for. I was able to see beautiful, amazing things in him, and I wanted to stir those up with my words. It applies to our children as well. Man, even more so perhaps because our children are in such a formative season. And when we can see things in them, when we see them trying. Maybe it's hard for them. Maybe it's like math. And if you have a daughter, it's more likely math is going to be harder typically, but not always. I'm not like totally whatever, but I'm just saying typically for some girls, math just seems to be harder. And so we can use our words to encourage our daughters. Hey, you know what? You have the mind of Christ. That is actually true. That's like a Corinthians thing. Okay. We have the mind of Christ. We can point out to them. We can catch them being good. We can catch them, you know, succeeding. We can catch them, and we can use our words to affirm them and to call them up and to stir up things in them that they didn't even realize were possible. That is the kind of influence that we have. So what comes out of our mouth is even more important than what we put into it. Now, I'm serious about that. I'm serious about that because our tongue, our words has the have, whatever. There's a lot of power there. How much power? Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Okay. And it reads, my goodness gracious. I'm my goodness graciousing how very tiny the font gets as time passes. What I really mean is I might should put on my glasses, but I'm not going to. So it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So let's camp out on the first part there. How much power is in the tongue? The power of death, the power of life. That may sound a little dramatic. But have you ever had somebody say something to you, and maybe you had a hope or a dream or a goal, and inside you weren't really sure if you could do it, but you knew that you wanted to give it a good shot. And then somebody says to you, probably even someone well-meaning, okay? I like to believe the world has more nice, wonderful, healthy, happy people than mean, spirited, you know, ugly ones. The thing is, people who hurt accidentally, often it's accidentally, and sometimes it's on purpose, they hurt other people. But I like to think, I like to believe, I like to look for, always be looking for the helpers, be looking for those people who really do, they want to do good, they want to do right. And so maybe a well-meaning person has said to you, you can't do that. You can't do that. Oh my goodness gracious. I don't know how many times I have met adult, and it's usually men, adult men who have had a certain level of success, like in college, you know, graduate level, things like that. And they say, but when I was in high school, my counselor told me, you are not college material. You will never be successful in college. Don't even go to college. You are not a college person. You need to be looking at other things in life. And yet these men have gone on to get their bachelor's degree, a master's degree, maybe even a doctorate, often a doctorate. And it's interesting. It's almost like they spend the rest of their educational experience proving that counselor wrong. Why? Because that counselor's words were so powerful. Those words, the words that that person spoke over this other person, the words that the counselor spoke over this man could have killed his dreams. That's death. That is the power of death. It doesn't mean, boo, I'm going to look at you and say something ugly and you're going to fall dead. That doesn't happen very often, probably. But what does happen tragically often is the words that we speak, even from a well-meaning place. I believe those counselors really thought that they were protecting these people from future failure. Fail anyway. What if you don't fail, right? But the power of life and death is in the tongue. We've talked about how we can speak life into other people and stir up even possibilities for what could come for them. And we've talked about how well-meaning people can say things that may shut someone else down. It could even kill a dream. The power of life and death is in the tongue. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. You know, one thing that's not true is something we heard when we were children, when someone would say something unkind. I don't know about you, but I would go home and I would tell my mom, you know, at recess today, so-and-so said such and such, and it just really hurt my feelings. And my mom would say, well-meaning, she would say, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And I thought, wow, it seemed like it hurt, but okay. And then later I discovered, in fact, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can shut you down. Even well-meaning words. And what I'm saying to you is we can't change whatever happened. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive for what they said to you. That's a whole different podcast. Okay. That was like episode 2 and 3. But what we can do is we can get an awareness. Like even before I started recording this episode, I'm praying for you as you're listening to this, that God will stir up in you, within you, an awareness of what you are saying, how you're saying it. I'm praying that you will get like this revelation and even a conviction that we can use our words for life. We can use our words to bless and not curse. Like we can accidentally curse, and I don't mean like using bad language, but sometimes that can be part of it. We can accidentally curse someone else. Like we can, and we don't mean to. That's not our heart. That's not your heart. You don't want to do that. I love this in the book of James. So it's, let's see here. It's James chapter 3, verses 4-6. I'm going to go ahead and put on my helpers here so I can read this. And it says, oh my gosh, let me just say, if you are feeling convicted about this, any part of this, and you're like, girl, yes, you are up in my business. let me just invite you to take maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and just read the whole book of James. It is a quick read, and it is such a powerhouse of encouragement, especially about what comes out of our mouths. But let's just look here at James chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. And it says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Okay, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Oh my goodness gracious. Some translations call the tongue like a rudder. In this example, we read that a ship, like ships are massive, right? Like massive. I've seen like cruise ships that are just tremendously huge. And the whole ship is guided by a little, relatively to the rest of the vessel, the rudder is very, very small. And that is what guides the ship. Much the same. Our bodies, in comparison to our tongue, our bodies are big. And we have this little tongue, this little muscle in our mouth. And that little muscle can get us into a whole lot of trouble in a quick hurry. And it can also release incredible blessing and encouragement and hope and inspiration into the lives of the hearers of what we speak. And I just think that is beautiful. Let us choose to bless and to not curse. So how do we get started on this? What do we do? Like, what's the first thing that we need to do, right? You're listening, you're going, okay, I get it. What do I even do? Well, first of all, we make a decision like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what is coming out of my mouth. I'm going to pay attention to the tone of my voice. I got to tell you straight up though, you're not going to hear it. You are not going to hear it. You would be amazed at what comes out of your mouth. I would be amazed at what comes out of my mouth. So we probably can't do it by ourselves. If you still have kids at home, you might, if you're feeling gutsy and brave. So my clients in the Peace, Health, and Joy Incubator, this is an activity that we do every time we go through the whole curriculum. This is an activity I invite my clients to invite their children into and say to their kids, if they're feeling brave, if the mom's feeling brave, hey, I really want to work on what I'm saying. So if you hear me say this, this, or this, or if you hear me use a tone of voice that doesn't feel loving, will you bring it to my attention? Okay, not every mom's going to want to do that with their kids, okay? I've done it. Thankfully, I have a kid who will still kind of point out to me, and she's not little anymore. She's 25. And she'll point out gently if I've like used a harsher tone than maybe was in my heart. She has a gentle way, and I want her to. She's not like picking on me. I can entrust her with this kind of accountability because I know she is for me. I trust her. She loves me. She wants good things for me. And sometimes in pressure situations, my voice can get a little bit firm, right? Just like we snap our fingers and out comes the sassy voice. And it's like, wait a second. There are times and places for that. But most of the time, I would rather have a gentle, loving tone. And sometimes a loving tone requires a great deal of like, kaboom, kaboom, like seriousness. It is loving to hold people accountable. And sometimes we need to use a different tone of voice. But could you ask your kids, hey, y'all be listening. If you hear mommy say this, this, or this, or whatever, be specific with them. It's usually helpful to put some parameters in place. It will be interesting to hear from their perspective, which really matters, what you say, how you say it. If you don't still have kids at home, if you have a husband at home, can you trust him with this task? Hey, honey, I'm really working on my words. Will you point out to me when I say something that encourages you? Will you point out to me when maybe I'm more critical than what it feels like you need or what it feels like I need to be? Opening those conversations can change relationships in a really good way. It can let your kids see that you're actually a real life person. It can create space for you to not be perfect. It could create space for you to mess up and for them to see it and for them to know you messed up and to model for your children failure. Oh my gosh, what did I just say? Should parents model failure for their kids? Well, what I can say straight up is you probably won't even have to try very hard. It's human to fail. There is so much gift in failure. It's okay for your kids to see you fail. Maybe don't make the same mistake over and over and over again, but when you do make a mistake, it's okay. It means you're human. And by getting an awareness of it, it reduces the likelihood that we'll make that same mistake again. Hopefully, if we're teachable, right? So that's really not completely directly related to the power of our words, but kind of it is. So today, as I kind of wrap up, I'm just inviting you, pay attention to what is coming out of your mouth. And will you encourage yourself? Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother episode. This literally will be an episode we'll do later. What we say to ourselves, because most women I know, most but not all, live with a bully in their head, in between their ears, all the time, picking on her, calling her down, you know, shutting her down, pointing out everything she did wrong, but never anything that she did right. Like there's like a bully between her ears. That's a whole nother episode, okay? Today, we're talking about using our words to bless and curse others. Honestly, the words we say to ourselves are every bit, if not more, important. We'll get into that another day. But will you pay attention to what is coming out of your mouth? Will you get real, real intentional about it? Will you choose to use a tone that is a blessing and not a curse in the lives of your kids, in the life of your husband? My gosh, a wife has so much potential to impact her husband for so much greatness. I'm so grateful that that is something that God showed me during my late husband's lifetime so that I had an awareness of it. I was intentional and I got to use the superpower of my words to bless him, to encourage him. Now, let me be clear. I was not a perfect wife, okay? Because I'm a human, because I fail. There were times that I totally unknowingly, not my heart. I know it, for me, it was probably just as much of what came across my face as it was whatever barbed out of my mouth, right? But my intention in my heart, at least I was trying, was to bless and not curse. And I feel like most of the time I did pretty good at that. And then there were the other times where it's like, listen, Leonard, I'm not liking how this is going. And that's being honest. It is not honest in a relationship to just only like candy coat and sugarcoat everything ever and never be honest and genuine and authentic about other things that really need to be dealt with. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm not saying put a big old coat of sugar over everything and, you know, spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about in general, recognizing the power of your words to bless and not curse. And yeah, there are the hard conversations, the really hard conversations. We can still choose to control the tone of voice even when we're having to talk about the really hard things. And in any healthy marriage, you have to talk about the really hard things. You have to. And so you can choose your tone. You can still choose to bless and not curse. We don't have to tear other people down. Oh my goodness gracious. Thank you, Lord. That is not necessary for us to tear other people down with our words. No, no, no. I think there's a big justice that comes from God that can take care of a lot of stuff. And sometimes we have to say and do the hard things too. But overall, we can choose to use our words to be blessings and not curses. And I hope that this has encouraged you today. So I'd love to hear from you. You can see my Instagram. On Instagram, I'm at Diana Wallace ND. I'd love to hear from you. Did this message find its mark? If so, what's different for you now than it was when you first listened to this episode? I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for being with me today. I hope that you have an absolutely fabulous week. For the rest of the week, that you will have enough to share of peace, health, and crazy joy. Bless you. I'll see you soon. This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.